Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the program, live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, and glad to have you with us, whether you're live with us each day, we hope, on the radio, or whether you're joining us on the podcast. It's so very good to have you with us, and we've got some big news to open the show with. We now know when Trey Kaufman will make his college decision. It was announced earlier today on his Instagram account that he is going to announce what college he will attend later this month on October 30th. So we will know another big name in the state of Indiana as far as Archie Miller trying to keep kids, keep student athletes in the state. We'll know if he can be successful in landing Kaufman on later this month on October 30th. His message, you know, kids do it differently, and I've got to say, Trey Kaufman is not, and I think those of us that have followed it closely or watched him closely play on the court, he's not very flamboyant. He's not going to, you know, have some big to-do about it, but he did, and he's not very active on social media either, but he did have an Instagram clip that came out that he put up, kind of like a video. It had all five logos of the schools that he is considering: Indiana, Purdue, North Carolina, Virginia, at Indiana State, and then it said hashtag committed, then it flashed to October 30th, just to kind of a little setup for when this announcement would be. I know Jeff Rabjohn spoke with his mother. She also confirmed the announcement as well. So we'll find out later this month, and again, this would be the a big piece. I think we all know that when it comes to IU basketball, right now, probably the number one topic I think that fans are interested in that we talk about from time to time on this program is Trey, and is where we think he's going to go and when he's going to make his decision. And part of that is because he's a great talent that continues to improve and get better and get better. The other part is he's right here in our backyard, a lot like Romeo Langford. He's in Sellersburg. And so we've had a chance for many of us to see Trey go from a middle school player that had some height and some potential to be a high school senior that really is on the map nationwide as far as high school basketball is concerned. So going to be interesting to talk about it. We'll cover it fully between now and the commitment. The latest question I've had on Trey since this morning is he going to have an announcement? Is he going to make the announcement in the gym at Silver Creek? Can you watch the announcement or listen to the announcement anywhere? I have no knowledge of that. We'll talk with Coach Hoffman and find out what his plans are, if he has specific plans. But I'm just guessing here, knowing Trey the little bit I do and the times that we've interviewed him here on this program, on this station over the years with our high school basketball coverage and with this show, wouldn't surprise me if it just was a simple post on his Instagram account or a little video clip that this is where he's committed to. I'm not sure that I see him having a big announcement ceremony or anything live like that. Could be wrong, but and again, it's a different time. We're in a pandemic. It's not smart, and not sure that schools would allow people to be packed in there together in a gym or in any setting at Silver Creek. But people are asking, how's he going to make his decision? How are we going to know on that day? And Trey, actually, on his Instagram, as part of this announcement, he's got a countdown on there. So if you go to his Instagram account, and I'll tweet a link out for those of you that don't have the app or don't know how to look him up, if you watch the little clip in his story, his Instagram story, it's called. When you get to the very end of it, there's actually a countdown that says 9 days and I think 15 or 14 something hours from now. So you can actually time it down to when exactly this announcement down to the minute is going to happen, according to Trey. So big news today. We have talked probably over the years of having this show, and I think we're going on five or six now. We probably have not talked more about a player than Trey Kaufman. The only one I can think of would be Romeo Langford, maybe, where we covered his recruiting a little closer. But we've had numerous conversations with Brandon Hoffman. We've had Trey on multiple times, and obviously we'll continue to follow it as we get closer to the decision. But this is a big deal, and it's a local player, and it's not often you get local players with the talent of a Romeo Langford or of a Trey Kaufman that play right in your backyard, and you get to follow them all the way through their high school career. But that's another reason that I think we all hope the high school basketball season is somewhat normal and is played, because you want someone like Trey and Silver Creek to have the opportunity to shine for Southern Indiana and, you know, compete for a state championship, which I think Silver Creek would be a big overwhelming favorite in 3A if and when we get to that point of the season. So wanted to open with that. Trey Kaufman to make a decision on October 30th. Keep in mind, he's made multiple visits over the years to Indiana and Purdue for games, for team camps with the Silver Creek team, just for many things. Then this fall, he and his mom, they went on their own trip to North Carolina and Virginia. I think it was Virginia first, and then they went down to North Carolina. Of course, during the pandemic, we talk so much about it, but recruiting is really restricted. Coaches can't host players on campuses unofficially or officially. Coaches can't come to Silver Creek to watch practices or open gyms. So very restricted right now, but Trey took it into his own hands. He got a late offer from North Carolina. Virginia has been involved for a while. He had never seen those schools and clearly was interested enough and thought enough of those coaches. And those are two great programs that he wanted to see those campuses. And so he, on their own dime, on their own time, went down to see those. So he has seen those two schools in addition, obviously, to Indiana and Purdue. A lot of people ask about Indiana State. His uncle Matt Wren, who was a terrific player here in the area, played at Indiana State, still involved there. I think he's maybe the color commentator for the radio broadcast and does a great job. That's the connection to Indiana State. Will he legitimately consider them? Could they be his pick? I have no idea, but obviously Coach Lansing, who I know well up in Terre Haute, he's got to be loving just the publicity that his logo, his program gets when a nationally ranked player like Trey Kaufman has them listed in the announcement graphic for his decision. So we'll see how it all plays out. Some people think an early decision's good for Indiana. Some people think he likes Virginia or North Carolina, that they may be in play. A lot of the conversation with Purdue is it's hard to see him and Caleb First from Fort Wayne Blackhawk playing together. They're both bigger guys that could play, you know, maybe a combo of positions, but down low some as well. Other people say that that they could play together and complement each other. So it will be interesting to see. And again, kudos to Trey and his family, because this has been a high-profile announcement, especially in our basketball-crazy area, and they've kept it really low-key. And I fully expect that when October 30th comes, no one's going to know. Sometime this stuff leaks out, or ESPN or someone gets it before the announcement happens. They've been pretty tight on it. I like that. I respect that. And let's hope that that happens stays that way all the way up until the time of the announcement on October 30th. Let's get into the rest of our program today. Obviously, we'll continue to talk about Trey and his recruiting and his upcoming decision often on this show between now and October 30th. The show lineup for today, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Some football headlines today, including a big-time Penn State player, another one that may not be available this season. We'll talk about that. There was some other football news from Indiana yesterday, and we'll look ahead at some other items as well in our headlines today. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins. He's with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing, and Greg will join us to talk about a number of things today. We'll talk IU and the Big Ten football season getting started. We'll talk a little IU basketball as well, and ask Greg's thoughts, because he's been tracking Archie Miller's recruiting, not like we do on a player-to-player basis, I don't think, but he really was involved in covering Romeo Langford. He's obviously really tuned in with the Trey Kaufman situation, and he's really been interested, I think, in can Archie Miller keep the top in-state players in-state? He's written about that topic a lot. And so we'll talk with him about that today as well. And that's in segment two. Later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us. We'll talk all about Trey's announcement date with him, what he thinks, and how he sees this going the final few days, really, of his recruitment with Mike when he joins us later in the show today. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can check out their new dinner package deals that are being offered at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can dine in. You can take them to go. And curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Love to hear from you. Tweet me a question, a comment, at Hoosier Hills. You can follow me there, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, on Twitter. You can also email the show. It's HoosierReport@gmail.com. Your questions, your comments are appreciated. Perhaps they'll get used in today's show. Our first Zaxby's headline today, Penn State, their running back, Journey Brown, who's been mentioned as a dark horse for the Heisman Trophy this year as a candidate, he could miss this season, the entire season, due to an undisclosed medical condition, according to a statement from Penn State football on Monday night. Journey Brown was Penn State's leading returning rusher. He had a great 2019 season. He averaged 6.8 yards per carry and 890 yards and 12 touchdowns over the course of the season. The quote from the release said, quote, Journey Brown is being treated for a medical condition discovered during the offseason and will potentially miss the 2020 football season. So Penn State had already missed a big linebacker that was going to opt out for the season and prepare for the NFL draft. He decided not to return when the season was kind of placed back into the fall. And now the chance that Journey Brown could miss the season, obviously we're talking about two really good players from a top 10 ranked Penn State team before they've ever played a game that the Nittany Lions could miss this year. So does this make Indiana's chances better on Saturday? Penn State has not really had its way with Indiana. They've defeated Indiana when they play, but they've been fairly close games. I think the last time it was in Bloomington, if I remember correctly, it was a touchdown win, a 7-point win a few times back for Penn State over Indiana. So we'll see how things go Saturday. Obviously, it's an interesting way for Indiana to open the season up against a real challenging team in the Big Ten, but this could be a different Penn State team in Bloomington than maybe what you thought back in the offseason, at least earlier before all the craziness happened with the pandemic and the delaying the season and then changing it again where football would be played in the fall 6-7 weeks into the rest of the college football season. Other IU football news, this is no surprise here, but IU had a release yesterday that in collaboration and cooperation with other Big Ten Conference institutions, IU Athletics will not permit tailgating in any way of its grass surface or grass parking lots in and around the Memorial Stadium complex for the duration of the 2020 football season. So you can bet that some people will try on private property or other places. They will tailgate. But if it's on IU property, it sounds like they're going to be out watching that. And again, this is something across the conference where to keep everything the same as far as tickets and families being allowed in and tailgating allowed, not allowed, it's all consistent, it sounds like, across the Big Ten, which is good, I think, in this crazy season. Also yesterday, we got to hear from Coach Allen, and one thing he mentioned in his presser, in addition to talking about the Penn State game, he mentioned that IU on their uniforms and on, I think he said, the back of their helmets are going to wear a social justice logo. And IU released that logo with a statement yesterday after the Coach Allen availability. It's a fist with a lot of different descriptor words, peace, love, united, power, empathy, together, understanding, equality, compassion, justice, and human rights all within this fist. That Indiana will use, and I haven't seen anything yet on if this will appear the same logo on basketball uniforms or anywhere in Assembly Hall. But this is definitely what IU football is going with in their stand for social justice, which, of course, we saw the NBA take big measures. It was on the court. It was on a lot of the jerseys, the back of the jerseys of the players. And it's going to be interesting, I think, as we look across college sports now to see how colleges tie their stand into social justice in Indiana, releasing this logo that they will use in representation of that. Also yesterday, we found out that game two for IU football at Rutgers on Saturday, October 31st, the kickoff in New Jersey is now set for 3:30 p.m., and that game will be on Big Ten Network. So game two will also be a 3:30 kickoff for IU football, the game at Rutgers. One other headline I wanted to mention today before we close out the first segment. I mentioned this briefly yesterday, but how about this? The fall sports seasons at the high school level in the state of Kentucky continue to move on. And, of course, same for Jefferson County Public Schools, JCPS. JCPS, when they initially said they would start high school sports and they would allow teams to practice and play contests this fall, had said if they became a red county on the COVID-19 map that I assume is kept up like Indiana's by the Kentucky State Health Department with numbers, and I'm sure there's a lot of different factors that go into what color state you or what color county you are within the state of Kentucky. But if they had said if they got to the red, which is the worst level, that they would shut down sports, high school sports. And so now Jefferson County, Kentucky, as of the last few days, is a red county. So Thursday night, the state is going to meet, or I should say the school board is going to meet, and it will be interesting to see what the decision made is. Will they stay with what they said earlier? They're going to shut down sports. They did say it would not affect this weekend's games. But beyond this weekend, if they choose to follow what they had initially said, you could see a lot of high school football teams, some of the other fall sports that are still going. Some are in their tournaments, I believe, as well. In the state of Kentucky, they could have to withdraw. Their seasons could have to come to a close sooner than what a lot of people thought. So some very, very tough decisions made as numbers in Kentucky and Indiana continue to rise in this COVID-19 pandemic. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget to check out Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on Tuesdays. We have the opportunity to chat with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. And this segment brought to you each week by Coffee Crossing. Just a reminder, when you're in downtown New Albany, you're still near a Coffee Crossing. Come visit their store located on East Main Street in New Albany, right in the hub of downtown. Greg is with us. And Greg, finally for me, and I mentioned this with Zach Osterman yesterday, but college football, which it's good to see on TV, and it's different without fans in the crowd. But finally, college football Saturdays for me will seem a little bit more normal because Indiana will be playing, the Big Ten will be playing, and of course Indiana has a big challenge to open up the season this week at home.
Yeah, and once these conferences, ours and also the Pac-12, once they start playing, we can finally get a top 25 that looks normal. No offense to Louisiana Monroe or whoever you are, but I'm tired of seeing like the number 24th ranked. Like, who are you? You're number 24 because only 28 teams playing. Okay, but anyway, so yeah, I'm looking forward to having our season back. And I will tell you that I've been pleasantly surprised by the virus's spread or lack thereof among teams and players. And I get there've been a lot of games canceled, but nobody ever thought we were going to have a perfect season. That was never on the table. What was on the table was, are we going to survive October or not? And granted, the Big Ten hasn't started playing yet, but the rest of the country is, we've survived October. we're going to get through October, it looks like. So I'm very uplifted by that. And I'll say that there's a guy for Sports Illustrated, named, I think his name is Ross Dallenbecker, who writes a lot about the virus and college sports. And he's written a few times, I've noticed, that there's no scientific evidence, or very little anyway, that players are passing it amongst themselves, like from one team to another during a game, which I find impossible to believe. And yet, the facts kind of bear that out. We're not seeing one team get sick and the team they just played, they get sick too. It's not happening a whole lot anyway. So anyway, it's surprisingly, football, the most physical of all sports, apparently is not the super spreader that we thought it was going to be, at least so far.
I don't know if you've compared football and Big Ten or basketball policies in the Big Ten, but, you know, I know Jeff Brohm of Purdue has tested positive. He obviously is going to miss this weekend's game and has to quarantine and follow the protocol there. But it seems to be, and we talked some about this last week, you know, Jeff Goodman was tweeting that some coaches he was talking to off the record weren't even sure they could get to 13 college basketball games this season. And I guess if the numbers go up and the spread worsens, I mean, maybe that could be a legit problem to deal with. And if, at that point, maybe we shouldn't have basketball if it's that bad. But it seems the guidelines I've read for NCAA across the board in basketball is like if you get the virus, you're out 21 days, and there's no exceptions. Like if you test 3 days in a row negative, it doesn't mean you can return. At least that's how I read them, and that's how I've heard other people talk about them. Does it seem maybe it's more stringent for basketball than football, or do you know? Have you looked at those and compared them?
Well, I, the stories about Jeff Brohm, like in paper today in the Indy Star, we got Mike Carman of West Lafayette, the Juris Colonel, writes for us, and his story says that the protocols are different for coaches than players, but he noted that if a Purdue football player test positive, that guy's out 21 days.
Okay, then so maybe it is the same.
Yeah, it's got to be the same. There's the only reason, well, there's no reason why it wouldn't be the same. And if it wasn't the same, I'm on vacation this week, but I'd come off vacation right now and write 1,000 angry words about how can it not be the same? Like, be too tough, be too weak, but don't make one set of players sit out longer than the other set of players based on what sport they play. That's stupid. But I can't see, we talked about this, but college basketball is a different deal. One reason why that guy Ross from Sports Illustrated has been, he's talking to experts that cite why football hasn't been the super spreader that, frankly, basketball could be, is that apparently the 6 foot of spatial of distance is important, but so is the 15 minutes time with somebody within 6 feet. And of course, football, you're all over the place, and you're taking breaks and all this, but basketball, during practice, during games, you're kind of in each other's face the whole time. So that's interesting. But I've also been interested by the whole idea of 6 feet of space, but also the 15-minute thing. I kind of thought that if you're walking down the street and the guy has COVID and doesn't know it and kind of coughs near you and you sort of breathe those particles in, you're screwed. And maybe you are, but this whole 15-minute thing makes it seem like it's not quite as contagious as we've been led to believe. On the other hand, 5 or 6 million positive tests. I'm not trying to downplay this at all. I mean, sure, all the positive tests, all the deaths make you think it is. I guess what I'm saying is, and what I'm really getting tired of, what I've been tired of from day one, is the mixed messages. I'm just real sick of, like, there's a reason why there's people considered Corona bros on one side. Like, we're all scared to death, blah, blah, blah. And there's a reason people on the other side are considered, you know, Corona deniers. Like, you guys, like, the world's not flat. There's a reason for that, because the mixed messages are so maddening. And left our own devices, we kind of believe what fits our worldview. And that's, which is how we've turned a goddamn medical issue into a political issue, which is just nonsense.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We were texting earlier. You told me you would be covering the IU football game this weekend that takes place in Bloomington, but you would be doing so from home. Is that because you're on vacation? I got to ask that.
Oh, a couple reasons. And the first reason, it's got nothing to do with, and there might be one person listening that knows this. It might be 100. I don't know, but I wrote one of my last stories for the Star was about how the Colts game, they thought they were probably going to cancel it on Friday morning because a bunch of people tested positive. Then within 4 hours, they were all false positives and the game is on. We all know what happened this weekend. Well, that same day, Friday morning, while the Colts news was breaking, I was in line at the CVS to get my own COVID test because I've been feeling bad for about a month and just, you know, and didn't think it was that, but just thought at some point I owe it to somebody, to my girlfriend, to her daughter, to somebody. I got to figure out if I'm okay. And so I got tested, and I am okay. So long story short, but I won't be at the game Saturday. It's got nothing to do with that. It's two things. One is they're keeping the press box as sparsely populated as possible, and they're allowing one writer per site.
Sure.
To
okay.
go.
Okay.
With a few exceptions. And I've been told that I'd be an exception, that if there'd be room for me, if I wanted to go. But frankly, and I don't know what this says about me. Maybe nothing. I don't really know. But you know, you cover these games in the press box, like Colts game. You're in the press box, so you're a far, you know, you have a worse view for the press box than you do on TV. Now, granted, you can see the sideline, you can see the interactions, but not like college basketball. College basketball, I love being in the arena, even if it's empty, because I can see players' faces, and I can see if Archie Miller is going nuts because Devontae Green keeps taking bad shots. You know, you can see all that stuff, and I can write about it. In football, there's not a lot I can see that I don't see on TV. Not from way up high, not with masks on. You know, I just can't. So, am I better off going to this game, sitting way up high, with no atmosphere at all, no crowd to watch, and then all the interviews done post-game on Zoom, we're all sitting on our laptops in the press row, or I can just do all that from home and also have replays and all that. So I don't know if this makes me lazy, sensible. I don't know what it makes me, but I will not be at the game Saturday, but I'll be covering it.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Trey Kaufman from Silver Creek right here in southern Indiana. He put on his Instagram this morning that he's going to make a decision on where he'll attend college October 30th. So the countdown is officially on, and that's obviously the top story here. And from IU basketball recruiting standpoint, over the years, really, on the day Archie Miller was hired, you were on one of our special programs. And on the day Romeo Langford committed to Indiana, you were on one of our special programs that we had for that coverage. And we talked about the importance each time and have continued to on our weekly appearances here with you to talk about in-state and how Archie Miller's doing. And even when, you know, they hadn't made an NCAA tournament, we think they would have made it last year had the tournament been played. But that had been the real positive, that he had recruited the state very well and been able to keep top players here. Trey Kaufman's the next player, the next guy up from the state of Indiana that's a big-time prospect that Indiana has laid all the groundwork that they need to with now for a number of years. And can Archie Miller keep this momentum that he's built right now, where he's basically, outside of Keon Brooks, pretty much undefeated within the boundaries of Indiana on recruiting? Can he keep that momentum going with Trey Kaufman? I know you kept an eye on that recruitment. I know you covered the recruitment of Romeo Langford very closely. What are your thoughts on Archie's streak, and can he keep it going with Trey Kaufman?
What's amazing about that streak is the one guy he didn't get, you're mentioning, Keon Brooks. Brooks is the guy he had the best end with of all of them. He had Ed Schilling on his staff, and Ed Schilling, back in the day at Wright State, coached Keon Brooks' father. And so we all kind of thought Keon Brooks was a done deal at IU for that reason, and it didn't happen, and Schilling's now gone, and part of me wonders, was he on the staff just bringing Keon Brooks? And if you can't do that, Schilling, what good are you? Who can you bring in? If you've got an end like that and you can't bring in that guy, you can't get anybody. So get out of here. So that's just a little aside there. I do, you know, the thing about recruiting to IU as the IU head coach, and it's been this way for 60 years at least. I'm not that old. I don't know what it was like in the 40s. But it's been this way for 60. By the way, I wasn't alive in the 50s or 60s. I can't read the 60s either. I'm not that old. But if you're the IU basketball coach, you've got to kind of try hard not to recruit the state of Indiana really well, because you've got so many built-in advantages. It's just one of those things, and you have it. And kids grow up, and their parents and their grandparents grew up rooting for you, and you are the state university. Purdue's, of course, a state university, but there's only one, B, and IU is B. And anyway, so you've got to kind of try not to recruit the state, to not recruit the state. And Tom Crean tried not to recruit it. You know, he had his own theory, and you know, it worked for him for about 3 weeks, and then it didn't work for him anymore. Archie's theory is, I'm going to recruit the state. And with all the things he's got going for him, aside from the fact he's a pretty good coach and pretty charming guy himself in your living room, he's going to do well. And because, again, recruiting IU comes down to, really, you got to try. If you try, you've got so much wind in your back, you're going to get a lot of these guys. And if you're good, you're going to get a lot more of these guys. And if you're a great recruiter, you're going to get all of them but Keon Brooks. And that's what Archie's done. So if I had to bet money, you'd be an idiot to bet against IU on any state kid right now. I mean, it's just, in terms of Brett Benton, it's like any time. The trends are, they get them all. So until this kid says he's going somewhere else, I would say he's going to IU.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. You want to talk IU here for just a moment before we end the segment. You previewed this somewhat on our show last week, but you had a chance to interview Ron Felling. You wrote a column on him, of course. his storied history with Bob Knight and what people think about him or what people think about Knight. He's been one of the figures that name comes up in some of the great stories and some of the really ending moments of Knight's career there. But I love when I sat down to read the column, you met him at the American Legion post in Bloomington to have lunch and to interview him for this story. But another great piece, enjoyed it. And Ron Felling's an interesting dude.
Very interesting dude. And the thing about college coaches, even the ones that don't become head coaches and assistants, for the most part, those guys can talk. I mean, they recruit. That's what they do. So they're all interesting. They all have charisma, and he's no different. The way it was explained to me is that he has one drink a day. Every day. I don't know if they're open on Sundays, but he has a drink a day at the American Legion Post. So I want to have that one drink a day with him. So I went there at noon and we had bourbon and Coke. It was Jim Beam and Coke, I think it was, and real strong. It was at least two or three shots in that. I can tell that, but it was good. I can see why he goes there every day. but you know, I was determined to write a story I didn't want to go there and rip anybody. I wanted to go do a Ron Felling story and end up, the whole story's going to rip Bob Knight, or the whole story's going to rip Ron Felling for, did he rat out, you know, there are people that think, and when you can't convince them otherwise, that he gave the Neil Reed getting choked tape to CNN, because the tape was leaked about a year after Felling was fired. So the choking happened when he was on staff, and then he was fired about a year later for something else. And so people think that he did it. And I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying when I asked him, he said he didn't. So I take my point at face value. But anyway, I knew it'd be difficult kind of to write a story about Ron Felling and include some Bob Knight in there and not be picking on anybody, because it's kind of hard not to in this era. But anyway, I think I did that. And yeah, he can tell some great stories. And he doesn't want to talk a whole lot about Knight, but he can tell some great Bob Knight stories that make Knight look good. I mean, he told one story about Lou Henson and Knight growling about, you know, Lou, because Lou wanted to beat up Knight after a game one time, and Lou's on one side of the door and Knight's on the other growling at him, if I come out there, Lou, I'm going to pinch your expletive head off like a grape. So good stories, good time, and a really good drink.
Greg Doyle with us. Greg, this is a sad note here, and I had not mentioned this, but I had intended to on Monday. An Indiana University student died over the weekend down in Alabama after being shot. And I don't believe he had any ties to sports, and definitely not football or basketball at the university, but he did have some friends. One of those friends, Trace Jackson Davis. Pretty sad deal.
Yeah, and there are ties to sports. His name is Skylar Bradley, and he's from Carmel, and he played football at Carmel, graduated a couple years ago. But he's one of those kids that volunteered. Like, he was always in the Carmel athletic offices answering phones and doing whatever it is they needed to do. So just a real charismatic guy himself. And he goes to IU, and because he's got sports in his blood, because he's charismatic, he you know, worms his way in a good way into people's hearts. And so, yeah, a lot of the IU basketball players knew him and cared about him. Trace Jackson Davis, he was pretty tight. So this guy, again, because he's in sports circles, he apparently has a friend that is going to Alabama whose dad used to be a Colt. And I don't know who that friend was, but he went down to Tuscaloosa to hang out with his friend, and there was a fight involved. And the way it's described to me and in all the stories I've read, there was a fight involved, and he was trying to break it up, and someone pulled out a gun and shot him. Mm. Yeah, I don't, you know, what happened, if that's the way it went down, that's the way it went down. But so, yeah, his death has rocked IU, and not just because an IU kid got shot and killed. That would rock you at any time, but it is reaching the sports for sure, because there's a lot of people there that care about this young man. So, Skylar Bradley, think about him. Say a prayer for him tonight, please.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, as always, enjoy our conversations on Tuesday. We'll talk with you next week.
Sounds good, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
With so many meeting places unavailable these days, don't forget you can turn to Coffee Crossing. All five of their locations have warm, inviting seating available. Locations for Coffee Crossing in New Albany, Jeffersonville, and Sellersburg. And as we head to a commercial break, I wanted to mention this. Silver Creek football 9-0. We've talked a lot about it. A great season that they've had. And obviously, as we get ready for sectional action, one of our games will be East Central at Silver Creek on Friday. But Josh Cook had a story in the News and Tribune today. You can read it at newsandtribune.com/sports. What are some of the other great football teams that we've had in the 2000s? The 2002 New Albany team, coached by Kevin Roth, they were 8-1 in the regular season. The 2003 Floyd Central team, that was Ron Wiglob, the longtime coach there, his final team, they were 8-1 in the section, or in the regular season, I should say. Clarksville, Brian Gleason, when he was the coach there in 2006, they had an 8-1 mark in the regular season. Jeffersonville in 2007, Steve Cooley was the coach then. The Red Devils were 7-2 in the regular season. Charlestown, though, they match Silver Creek as far as undefeated seasons. 2007, Jason Hawkins, his first team at Charlestown, they were 9-0 in the regular season, lost in the sectional semifinals to a very good Heritage Hills team. And then 2012, he had another undefeated team that was just unbelievable, some of the stats they put up. They would go on to win the sectional, the fourth in Charlestown history, but lose to Gibson Southern in the regional championship game. So Silver Creek adds to a list of some pretty strong teams as you look back in the 2000s that have had great regular seasons. Charlestown able to win a sectional championship in 2012. That just kind of shows you, of all those teams I just mentioned, not a lot of postseason wins there, because even if you have a great regular season, the way football sectionals and regionals are, it's really spread out. You've got to play some great competition. So we'll see now what Silver Creek can do next in the postseason. But a couple of people said, hey, what are some of the other good football teams we've had recently? We know we haven't had anybody go to the state final or the semi-state, but what are some of the good teams we've had in the regular seasons? And who's won a sectional championship recently? So that's kind of a look, and thanks to Josh Cook for that information. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with our final segment today. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join us. You know, with him, we're going to talk more about Trey Kaufman. He set his decision earlier today for October 30th. He'll choose between Indiana, Purdue, Indiana State, Virginia, and North Carolina. We'll get Mike's thoughts on the date, the announcement, everything else surrounding his recruiting coming up in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, who's with us as we talk IU basketball and football in this segment each week. And Mike, big news today. We've covered it throughout the program. Trey Kaufman sets an announcement date of October 30th. He announced earlier this morning on his Instagram account. Your reaction to that, your reaction to a fall decision for Trey Kaufman, and how that helps or maybe doesn't help Indiana's chances?
Honestly, I think that's pretty good news for Indiana. I think I've said that before, that if earlier he decides, the better that is for IU. They've had a lot of face time with him that Virginia and Carolina haven't had. And I mean, that's also good for Purdue. I do think it favors the in-state schools. And we've kind of looked at this for a while as Purdue, Virginia, Indiana, and North Carolina as ones he'll decide from.
Mike, let's go through some of the storylines around Trey's recruiting. I know these have come up in past conversations, but given the announcement date set today, I think it's worth going through them again. Obviously, Indiana, since Archie Miller really has been there and since Trey was a recruitable prospect, they've had a relationship there. In fact, Trey has said multiple times that he almost has daily conversations, daily FaceTime conversations with Tom Ostrom on the IU staff. So from an Indiana perspective, from what we know, and of course we don't know behind the scenes stuff, but it sure seems like Indiana has longevity. They were one of the first schools to offer, and they've got a great relationship with him based on what Trey has said about the amount of conversations and FaceTimes and calls that they have.
Yeah, that's really developed well. And I think a big key is also he really likes playing with Logan Duncombe, who really developed in the last year and is a perfect complement, so that Trey can be the kind of versatile hybrid forward that plays a lot on the outside. So it seems like, you know, my money, I've already put in a crystal ball pick on 247 Sports for Indiana, but it's still, you know, nothing that we've heard. He's definitely going to choose Indiana, but there's a lot of favorable signs.
And let's talk a little bit about Purdue. They got a commitment from Caleb First, who is kind of 1-2, depending on the order, depends on who you look to or ask in the class, the 2021 class, as far as best player in the state of Indiana. They Trey and First, both big guys, both have big wingspans. I think Trey's a different player than Caleb First, but there could be some time shared together there in the post area. Some people say Caleb First to Purdue almost assures that Trey Kaufman does not attend Purdue because of some similarities. Do you agree with that, or do you think there is a way for them to play together if you were to be a Boilermaker?
Well, they can play together. There's no doubt about it. Caleb's a little bit stronger physically, a little bit taller, and can be more of a post player than Trey. But Caleb does have some ability to shoot the ball a little bit and would like to play outside more. And I don't know if that works great with Trey. You know, maybe they can flip back and forth, but I do think they could definitely play together. But in the minds of the kids, that could, you know, there's not a big question mark.
Talking with Mike Pegram, latest on Trey Kaufman, is his announcement date was set earlier this morning for October 30th, so 9 days from now, Trey will make his decision. He never had really had the chance to go to Virginia or to North Carolina. The North Carolina offer came later. Virginia had recruited him some, but the pandemic obviously messed up, I'm sure, potential plans for a campus visit to get to know the facilities and the coaches and just the campus in general better. But Trey and his mom, on their own time, on their own dime, they made the trip during the pandemic to see Virginia, then dropped down to see the campus of North Carolina. And so even though it wasn't an official visit, or even though the coaches couldn't be involved and there couldn't be support from the school, they did get at least a chance to see those campuses up close and personal and take that into their own hands. Your thoughts on both of those schools, out-of-state schools, both have had success. Of course, Virginia more recently, but North Carolina is a longtime blue blood in college basketball. What type of role could they play in this decision for Trey?
Well, I think he's had a really good communication and really good relationship with Tony Bennett at Virginia, and they're probably the stronger possibility of those two, even though Carolina, you know, has a little bit more tradition. But, you know, of course, Virginia just won a national championship. I think it's what's hurting them both is the long drive. It's not an easy drive. It's something that you can't make regular. If they were within a few hours or 3 hours or less, I think they would be much bigger threats. But having said that, they've done an excellent job recruiting him, especially Virginia. And so, you know, he's an excellent student, too, so that's a great academic opportunity there, too. So I wouldn't discount it entirely, but I would say that gun to the head pick would stay within the state of Indiana.
And Indiana State is his fifth school that he'll choose from. Of course, his uncle, Matt Wren, was a great player at Silver Creek and then went on to have a great career as a Sycamore. Is the Indiana State, are they a legitimate contender for Trey Kaufman? Obviously, I don't think anyone would pick them as the front runner, but are they a legitimate contender, or is this something where Coach Lansing at Indiana State's just thrilled his Sycamore logo is listed with those other four big programs?
No, I don't view him as a realistic option, but they have a terrific relationship because Trey's uncle played for, you know, one of the best players ever for the program, and they have a long relationship. And, you know, I think that because of that, they were listed as the fifth of the five schools and, you know, wanted to, you know, honor what that has meant to their extended family.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Lots on Trey Kaufman there, and, of course, lots more to come as we work our way to October 30th, which will be the date of his college decision. Mike, a couple IU football things to chat about before we end the show today. Penn State may be without another player, not just this weekend against Indiana, but for the season in returning running back, Journey Brown.
Yeah, you know, you've seen this before. Schools like Penn State, Ohio State lose running back, and the next guy as just as good almost. But it is a potential loss for them, given there's a lot of smoke with this one. But the depth that they have is always really outstanding, especially at running back. It's a position that there often are three or four guys that are at the same level. And Penn State did lose, I think more significant is they did lose their, one of the top tacklers who's left for the NFL and early. And that, that's been known for a while, but that is more of a significant loss because, terrific guys up front or in the linebacker position are really, that's where the depth sometimes can hurt.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right, Matt. Talk to you then. Take care.
That's going to wrap up things for this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget we do the show weekdays live here on the Big X at 11 a.m. And for those of you that listen on a podcast or would like to check it out as a podcast, you can find us in Apple Podcast. All you got to do is search the Hoosier Report. Leave us a rating and a review there, if you will. It'll help us connect with other IU and Southern Indiana sports fans that might want to check out the show or the podcast. Also, just a reminder to you as well, high school football coming up on Friday. We'll be at a couple games, but namely our feature game of the night we think has a chance to be a good one, and that is East Central at Silver Creek. That's the opening round of really, I think, the best 4A sectional in the state. It's a tough one for Silver Creek, a tough opening matchup, and if they can win that opening round game, the 9-0 Dragons, they would get Mooresville in the second round, likely, who is another favorite in that sectional. There are really three top 10 teams that any of them could make a run to win this thing and maybe make a run deeper into the tournament as well. So we'll have that. We'll have a lot more coming up Friday, too. Our kickoff show begins at 6 o'clock. We'll have some coaches and some players with us this week. And then, of course, after our coverage on Friday nights, we have the McAllister's Deli Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show. I have winning coaches on. We're also going to talk Friday night to some other fall sport coaches that on Saturday will be leading their teams into regionals or semi-states. So we got a big night planned for you Friday, all surrounded by high school football and high school sports. Make sure you join us for that. I'll be back with you on Wednesday. Wednesday we will have Matt Weaver of Peaks.com really kind of dig into the IU-Penn State football game and some other guests coming up for you as well. So a big week ahead, big sports week. High school football heads to postseason on Friday. IU Big Ten football begins on Saturday. Excited about that. We'll talk with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.